And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bring back the Bible, O ye sons of men. Bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible, shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible, let it be heard. Bring back the Bible, God's holy word. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our only textbook for the Sunday school. I love Sunday school. Now, I know that you old timers have heard this before, but you're going to hear it again. Some of you newcomers have not heard this. I was taken to Sunday school the first time when I was 3 weeks old. On Wednesday, the 12th, coming up, I'll be 83 years old. That means 4,313 weeks. Sundays, most of which have been spent in Sunday school. Now, when I was growing up in my dad's church, we had a motto that went like this: teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school, to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. And then I came from Danville, Virginia, to Fort Worth to enroll in the Bible Baptist Seminary. Dr. J. Frank Norris was my mentor. One of the first classes I had was under Dr. Louis Ensminger. Dr. Ensminger was the greatest Sunday school authority in the 20th century. He either organized or reorganized 23 of the 25 largest Sunday schools in America. One of the things that Dr. Ensminger told us when we started out on visitation was this: you go after some, you get. You go after some, you don't get. But you get some that you wouldn't get if you didn't go after those that you didn't get. I thought, my, he's got it. Well, he must have. He took the Sunday school of First Baptist Church from 900 in 1913 to over 5,000 in 1928, 29, and 30. He must have known what he was talking about. Then Dr. Ensminger taught us a little poem that has three stanzas. Man, I hope I can remember them. The first one: go on, go on, go on. Second stanza: go on, go on, go on. Third stanza: go on, go on, go on. You know what? I've been going ever since. In fact, I was going before I got to Ensminger's class, because I was brought up under a man by the name of R.J. Barber Sr., who believed in getting out there and knocking on doors and beating the bushes and winning people to Christ. And by the way, did you know that 8 out of every 10 people who won to Christ in a church ministry, they come through the Sunday school? The Sunday school is important. And I'm glad you're here today to share it. Last Sunday, I preached in a church that had only about 120 in Sunday school. But my, did we have a marvelous time. Virginia Beach, Virginia. Norfolk, Newport News, Chesapeake, Virginia Beach. All right there. I hadn't been in that area in 60 years. They didn't even remember me. Open your Bible with me this morning to the book of Proverbs. By the way, many scholars describe Proverbs as the psychology book of the Old Testament and indeed of the Bible. If I might throw in a little commercial here, I have two books written with this hand on the book of Proverbs in the bookstore, Walking in Wisdom. I went through the book of Proverbs. Out of every chapter, 31 chapters, I took a segment and built a devotion and practical applications around it. Some have said that's the best book that I've ever written. Then I wrote one called Untying the Knots. That's spelled N-O-T-S. Untying the Knots in Proverbs. And that is, I went through and took every time the word knot was spelled, thou shalt not, or do this knot, whatever, and I built something around it. I think they sell for $10 a piece. Is that right, Mary Helen? Now, I think, don't make a rush on the bookstore today, because I think we only have about two or three there. But if you don't get one in time, put in your order, and I'll see to it that you get one. Now, with your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 8, I'm going to read at verse 32 and down through verse 36. And I'll read these verses after we pause together in a moment of prayer. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful for Thy Word. We know that it is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel plainly stated. We thank You for the book of Proverbs that tells us how to rear children, tells us how to get along in our marriage and in our family and in our home and in our business and in our lives. It just covers the whole gamut, and we thank You for it. Now bless the reading and teaching of Your Word today. In Jesus' name, we ask it all with thanksgiving. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 32. Now, I want you to look for two words in these verses. One word used twice. Let me make that plain. One word used twice. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for here it is. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Here it is again. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. I want you to underline that word blessed in verse 32 and blessed in verse 34. That word means happy. It could be rendered hilarious. Hilarious are they that keep my ways. Hilarious is the man that heareth me, watching daily, waiting for me, watching at the post of my door. So, with that in mind, I want to say this, and this is my opinion. I believe that every person alive wants to be happy. Is there anyone in this room this morning who would raise your hand and say, I don't want to be happy? I don't see any hands. I think everybody here wants to be happy. By the way, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy would you say you are? Some minus zero. You know, there's a verse in Psalm 122, verse 1, that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And some people I know look like they thought it said, I was mad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Happy. What do you think? I have a follow-up question now. What do you think would make you happier than you are now? More stuff, more things, a bigger car, a larger house, a better salary. I start to say a better husband, but I'm not going there. I'm sure that would be true in some cases. But what would make you happier than you are happy now? A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, maybe me. Happiness is not found in getting what you want, but in wanting what you get. Most of us have got it in reverse. We think if we can just keep on getting and keep on getting and keep on getting. And by the way, who's going to dispose of that when you are stretched out right here? You better dispose of some of it now while you know where. Do your giving while you're living and then you're knowing where it's going. Some people are happiest when they are unhappy. Did you ever notice that? Have you ever been around somebody like that? They just seem to be happy when they were the unhappiest. Have you read the definition of a pessimist lately? Here it is. A pessimist is one who feels bad when he feels good for fear he will feel worse when he feels better. Don't ask me to repeat that. Some people, watch this now, some people bring happiness wherever they go. Others bring happiness whenever they go. Someone has observed that to be happy with a man, you must understand him a little and love him a lot. To be happy with a woman, you must love her a lot and don't even try to understand her. Now, I didn't write that, folks. I'm just reading. I'm not in management. I'm in sales, remember. Now, I'm going to give you three basic rules for happiness. I'm not going to enlarge on these, but I'm just going to list them for you so you'll know what they are. Rule number one, something to do. Rule number two, someone to love. And number three, something to hope for. If you didn't get those, let me give them to you again. Three rules for happiness. Number one, something to do. Number two, someone to love. And number three, something to hope for. Did you hear the story about the little dog and the big dog? Seems the little dog was always chasing his tail. He was told when he was a puppy that happiness was in his tail, so he chased his tail all day long, every day. Then along came the big dog, and the little dog stopped chasing his tail long enough to talk to the big dog. By the way, I should tell you, these are talking dogs. The little dog said he had been taught since he was a puppy to chase his tail, because that's where happiness was. The big dog asked the little dog, "Why do you chase your tail all the time?" The little dog answered, "Well, when I was a puppy, I was taught that happiness was in my tail. But I've never been able to catch it." "Well," said the big dog, "when I was a puppy, I was told the same thing. Then one day I forgot to chase my tail. And lo and behold, when I looked around, I discovered that happiness followed me everywhere I went." That's a good lesson from our canine friends, isn't it? Oh, and by the way, somebody said that the reason dogs have more friends than people, they wag their tails and not their tongues. Now, I've got a recipe for a happy day. I hope you'll remember this. Maybe you want to put it down. Here's the recipe for a happy day. Number one, 1 cup of friendly words. Did you know a word can change a whole day? The wise man wrote in Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but harsh words, grievous words, stir up wrath." If you want to stir up wrath, you just start speaking harshly to people. Proverbs 25:11, Solomon wrote, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." Speak the right word. The second thing in this recipe for a happy day, 2 cups of understanding. Let me go back to the wise man again, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 11. "Understanding shall keep thee." Now, I tried to come up with some definition of my own. This certainly doesn't reach up to Solomon's definition by any means, but here's what I put by understanding. Understanding is a mile marker on the road to wisdom. I think that can be borne out with Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom in all thy getting. Get understanding. So you have 1 cup of friendly words, two cups of understanding, the next part of the recipe, four heaping tablespoons of love. The next, a pinch of warm personality. And then the last, a dash of humor. Humor, someone said, is the harmony of the heart. Now, you need to mix those all up and serve them in generous portions. That's a recipe for a happy day. Every Christian should plant a garden of happiness. Have you thought about that? First, plant 5 rows of peas. Perseverance, patience, preparation, promptness, and purity. Next, plant 3 rows of squash. Squash gossip. By the way, he who gossips to you will gossip about you. Now, I've told several of the women this little ditty. When 3 women are talking, it's conversation. When 1 woman walks away, it becomes gossip. Squash gossip. Squash criticism. Squash indifference. 3 rows of squash. Plant 5 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful to our duty. Let us be unselfish and kind. Let us be true to our own obligations. Let us love one another. You know what Jesus said about that? I'm going to quote the greatest authority the world has ever known. In John 13:34 and 35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you go to church on Sunday night." No, that's not what he said. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you go to church on Wednesday night." That's not what he said. I think the next one's coming close. "All men shall know you're my disciples if you bring your tithes and offerings in." Now, he didn't say that, but I'm just thinking he could have said that. But here's what he said. Put it down. Write it down. Remember it. Jesus said, and remember, he's the greatest authority the world has ever known. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another." That's important. Let us love one another. Then, this brings me to what I've just mentioned a while ago. Not only let us be faithful, let us be unselfish, let us be true to our own obligations, let us love one another, but let us tithe and give in every offering. Some people have never learned to tithe. They think that God's just demanding something that they can't do. I remember the first job I had. I delivered groceries. I was 12 years old. Some of you are old enough to remember the bicycles that had these big baskets on the front of them and a little small wheel. How many of you ever saw one of those? I thought you was about as old as I am. But I rode one of those big basket bicycles. I bumped more telephone poles and signposts than you could dream of. After school on Friday afternoon and all day Saturday from 7 to 7, I got paid 50 cents. Well, that was pretty good back in those days. I took that 50 cents home and I said, "Daddy, look what they paid me, 50 cents. Daddy said, "Sit down, son, I want to teach you a lesson." Out of that 50 cents, 1/10 of it, a nickel, belongs to God. And I want you to start tomorrow tithing, putting your tithes in the Sunday school and church. I started the next day. I was 12 years old. I'll soon be 83. That's been 71 years ago. To my knowledge, I don't think I've missed a payday in 71 years. I know I haven't missed tithing in 71 years. And just take a look at it. Great physique, the whole thing. God did it. What am I saying? When we tithe and honor God, He honors us. That's what I'm saying. And it's better to give than it is to receive. If you don't believe it, you ought to try it. It works. It works. Now, no garden is complete without turnips. turn up for all services. That's what Dr. Robinson used to say. It takes three to thrive: Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm losing some of you, I can see right now. Turn up on time. The only way to get to church and Sunday school on time is to leave home on time. I'm not going to charge you for that one. Turn up with a smile. Turn up with a smile. Be happy. Turn up with a positive attitude, ready to worship. And then fertilize it with prayer. That's important. I'm going to preach tonight on the power of prayer. I hope I will give you some things you've never dreamed of. The power of prayer. Happiness, ladies and gentlemen, is not found in money. Jay Gould amassed one of the greatest fortunes that was ever amassed in the United States up to his time. And when he was dying, here's what he said: I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. Someone once said, money will buy anything but happiness and carry you anywhere but heaven. Happiness is not found in pleasure. Lord Byron, the Englishman, lived a lifetime of pleasure, and here's what he wrote at the end of his life: the worm, the canker, the grief are all mine. Happiness is not found in military glory. Alexander the Great, son of Philip of Macedon, conquered the world before he was 33 years old. I mean, the then known world was conquered by one man, Alexander the Great. And the historians tell us that he sat down and wept, cried himself to death at age 33, because there were no more worlds to conquer. It does not come in military prowess. Happiness is not found in atheism. Voltaire, who was a notorious atheist in the 18th century, who, by the way, said, in 100 years from now, there will be no Bibles. I will go through the forest and I'll cut down all the trees. Guess what? The very spot where he uttered those foolish words, blasphemous words, became a center of distribution for Bibles. From that place, Bibles were sent all over the world. Wow. Happiness is not... Oh, and by the way, here's what he said in the closing moments of his life: I wish I had never been born. It is not in political power. A man by the name of William Tweed became the brilliant boss of Tammany Hall and ran New York City for many years. In the closing days of his life, he wrote, "My life is a failure in everything." Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that true and enduring happiness depends on a close relationship to God and a complete surrender to His perfect will for your life. That's where true happiness comes. Now, happiness is found in Jesus Christ alone. Let me give you His word for it. I'm going to quote Jesus again. You know by now I love to quote Jesus. In John 16 and verse 22, here's what Jesus said: "And ye now therefore have sorrow." He just told them, "I'm going away from you. I'm going to leave you. I have to go back to heaven. I've got to go back to my Father, and you have sorrow because I'm going. But," I love this sentence, "I will see you again." And isn't that comforting? I know you're having sorrow now because I'm going away, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. That comes from the lips of Jesus. I'm going. I quoted to you a while ago, "Let not your heart be troubled," you know. I'm coming back. I will see you again. The happiness that Jesus gives, ladies and gentlemen, is genuine. It's devil-proof. It's fire-proof. It's fool-proof. It's eternal. Now, what does the Bible say in the closing remarks? I'm coming to the conclusion now. What does the Bible say about where happiness is found. I'm going to give you several verses that will help you to understand the answer to that question. What does the Bible say? And by the way, this is the most authoritative book in the world. There's nothing like it in Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, Shakespeare, Byron, Shelley, Keats, Longfellow, Shortfellow, or any other fellow. Only Jesus. Only the book. Only the Bible. Happiness is found in trusting God. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Ain't that simple enough to understand? What does the Bible say about happiness? Proverbs 16, 20. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Happiness is found in having God as our helper. Psalm 146 and verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Remember I quoted a while ago, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Happiness, ladies and gentlemen, is found when we get the understanding and wisdom that God promises us. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, here it is, listen. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and getteth understanding. Happiness is found in those that keep the law of God. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now let me run those by again. Then I have one more that I want to spend a moment or two on. We said that happiness is found in trusting God. Proverbs 16:20. Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is the man that has God for his help. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy is the man who obeys the law of God. Proverbs 29:18. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, look again with me at verse 34 in this text that I read you. You'll find that happiness is found in the following. One, listening to God. By the way, when's the last time you tuned God in? We listen to the television, we listen to the radio, we listen to the neighbor, we listen to the politicians and the pundits. When did we last listen to God? Now, don't misunderstand me. God's not going to speak to you audibly. He's already spoken in 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 34,000 verses, and over 700,000 words. You ought to be able to find some of those that you could listen to. Listening to God, verse 34. Happiness is found in listening to God. Again, God's not going to come to you audibly, call out your name and speak to you. He's already spoken. And by the way, he's not going to come to you in a vision tonight. If you have a vision tonight, it's because you ate too much pizza before you went to bed. That'll do it. The second thing in that verse, watching for God. First, we're listening to God. That's from his word. We're watching for God. Unto them that look for him, Paul said, shall he appear the second time. And then waiting on God, waiting on God. Listening to God, watching for God, waiting on God. They're all in verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. I love Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ladies and gentlemen, I conclude by telling you, you can discover happiness only as you follow God's prescription for happiness in his word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How happy are you? What would it take to make you happier than you are? What does the Bible say about happiness? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the happiness that you've given us through the Lord Jesus. We know it's not just something that's fleeting, that's here today and gone tomorrow, but it's eternal. Now I pray that you would bless us with things that have gone before us and those things that are to come behind us, after us, the music, the message, the invitation. Bless this day to thy honor and to thy glory. And bless everyone who has listened, everyone who is waiting, everyone who is watching at the post of your door. Oh, may it be so that we would wait upon the Lord. I ask it in his name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. See you in just a few minutes.